Welcome back to the Ali Shenacki podcast. We are in the middle of a name transition. So if you guys are regulars on the podcast, make sure you guys stay connected so that you do not lose us when we change our name. We believe that the Lord is putting something inside of us that He wants to bring to this world for such a time as this. And I'm so excited for you to be a part. So whether you're new or you're old to the podcast, make sure you guys like, subscribe, and share so that we can continue to spread the word of God to all ends of the earth. We love you. We believe God's got a word for you in today's message, and we cannot wait for you to hear it. What is up, Ali Shenacki podcast and Chosen and Free family? I'm so excited to have you guys back here on another episode of the podcast. This is going to be a really interesting and powerful one. I got my dad in the room, Lance Shenacki.
How's it going?
We're super excited that you guys are here and just to share what the Lord has been revealing to us. And we believe He wants to reveal to you guys today. So make sure you guys are tuned in. You limit distractions, whether you're on the way to work, sitting in your room, listening to this as you're going to sleep. If you are, super sorry about the music. Me and my dad are messing around with the soundboard right now.
Sorry, nothing, man. I love it.
So much fun. But today we're going to be talking about how to walk in victory. You know, whenever God's called you to do something and you step out in it, there's automatically a target on your back. You know, the enemy is scared of who God has created you to be. And so when you begin to walk into that, you put a target on your back, but we walk in victory knowing that we are children of God. Just knowing how to walk in that victory is the key. So we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare today and highlighting what the armor of God really is and how to practically put it on every single day.
You know, you look around and you see a lot of people just seem defeated. You know, so if you were to perceive a battlefield after like the enemy had conquered it or somebody had conquered it, and you just see like bodies laying there and you just see the devastation, you know, if we could like peer into the spiritual realm and look around how it's manifesting in people's lives, like there's discouragement, there's loneliness, there's hurt, there's lack of purpose. You see it around. People are taking their lives, their very lives they were given, this life given to them by God. And we got to ask, what is going on? And what I love about today's topic is it just gets real practical. You know, God many times in scripture was just so relatable in how He spoke. Like we know that He talked a lot in parables. And I feel like a lot of times like Christianity and this thing that we live out can become so complicated. And even a relationship with God, it's kind of like God is, where is He? Who is He? Like He's so far away. And how is He really a part of my life? How do I include Him? How do I depend upon Him? How do I actually have a relationship with this God that I can't see?
Right.
And He's like, He created me, but you know, and I'm so limited sometimes in my knowledge. So I love today. And even the topic, Alec calls this podcast Armor Up. And it's real practical because just like that battlefield I described, you know, how we perceive our lives, how we perceive our time on the earth is super important to being victorious or being defeated.
So true.
And so I think really to lay a groundwork for this discussion, we kind of got to like back up, you know, a little bit and go back to the beginning. You know, in scripture, God says, you know, we talk about when does life begin? You know, when is the definition of life actually begin? And there's a huge discussion going on in our culture right now, you know, with the Roe versus Wade and abortion and all that stuff. But what I love about us as Christ followers and those who have accepted Christ into our heart, and He's our Lord and Savior, is that we no longer have to go along with the opinions of people. And we know that the opinions of people are endless. Everybody's got an opinion based upon, you know, their circumstance, how they were brought up and stuff. But God's given us His word, right? Which is absolute.
Right.
And so whenever I need to know something as Christians, I go, and as a Christian, I go back to the word. So in His word, He says that before we were even in the womb, think about that. You know, we talk about the beginning of life, right? When does it start? When it's in the womb. I'm saying God says before we are in the womb, He knew us.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
That is so crazy.
That means that there's probably never a time when God didn't know us.
Yeah.
And so that should even further instill that nobody's an accident.
No.
And that everybody's got purpose. If God knew you before you're even in the womb, just that understanding changes everything. That means He intentionally put you in that womb at a certain time on purpose, because he's all knowing. And he's wrote this whole story, and he strategically, intentionally put you into that story, into that womb on purpose. And you were born, if you're listening to this podcast right now, this time was ordained by God.
True.
This is a God-appointed time. And we've got to begin to see things how, from God's perspective, because it changes everything. So then we know that God's put us on this earth for a reason. And then when we study his word, he says that, "For I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope in the future." So it's like, okay, wait, God knew me before I was in the womb. Then it says he put me in the womb, right? And while I was in there, he was delighting in me. He was like putting me together. And then he breathed the breath of life in me. I become alive. And then he says, now he has plans to prosper me. And he begins to tell me, as I delight myself in him, he gives me the desires of my heart. Like, he puts these desires in me, and that he's wrote me into his story, and I have a role to play in it.
Right. That's, and to seek first the kingdom, and all else shall be added unto you.
Yeah, he's setting us up for success. And so I lay that groundwork, because to have this discussion today, we have to see that, one, God knew us before we were in the womb. We were put on this earth for such a time as this. And that means if God's got these plans, and we know this bigger story is unfolding and we're a part of it, then we know that this life is all about one thing. It's about completing the mission. It's assignment.
Right.
It's an assignment to complete, right? And so it's important to understand that, because today we're talking about armoring up. But if we don't know,
there's a war going on, you're not going to fight it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, the greatest strategy of the enemy is to get you to think that there's no battle going on, just to kind of exist through life, just kind of like take in everything that you can for yourself,
right?
Live in the moment, live for the temporary, and don't think about anything else, right?
Or even worse, whenever you're facing opposition, to take what the enemy has intended for your evil to steal, kill, and destroy, and put that on God. Because I know for me, a lot of times when I'm dealing with opposition, I have to be reminded of the verses that say his plans for me are to prosper me, not to harm me, to give me a hope and a future, that he does know the desires of my heart. That if I do seek his kingdom first, all else will be added onto me, not because God's like, this is what you have to do, but because he's giving us a blueprint of how to live victoriously.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times the enemy wants us to think that God has forgotten about us in our hard times, or that God calls us to sacrifice things just because he wants us to miss out on fun. When in reality, God calls us to sacrifice things because he knows what it's going to look like when we walk in the will that he has for our life. It's going to bring fulfillment, protection, right? Like being righteous with him is going to limit the distractions and plans of the enemy. And we're going to talk about that as we dive into the armor of God. So if you guys want to read with us or listen with us, we're going to be in Ephesians 6 verses 10 through 17. And this is what it says. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, not our mighty power, his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Our fight is not against people. A lot of times in my life, I felt like somebody stole something from me that God had, or somebody didn't like me and they were talking bad about me and that they were my enemy, but they are not your enemy. Our enemy is the devil trying to steal, kill, and destroy every good thing and the purpose that God has over our lives. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your guard by putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I have heard this my entire life, and I've even spoken it over myself sometimes, or like they'll pray it over you in church services. But after going through this season of such heavy opposition in my life, whether it was health issues, family sicknesses and illnesses, opposition against the things that God's called me to do, like the Chosen and Free Freedom Night that we held, opposition has been on all sides. And it's really pushed me into this season where I've actually had to physically stop reading this, but put it on every single day, because there is a war going on. And I know in my own strength, I cannot be strong, but I needed to be in his strength because it was the only way to get me through. And we're telling you this today, guys, because I'm going to tell you something. This is real. If we really have our eyes open to this, not just being a strict, like a scripture, but something that God is giving us as an outline so that we can be victorious over the enemy's plans, over our anxiety, over the depression that's upon, honestly, our whole entire world right now. Like, God will be victorious. He will be strong. It's in my weakness that he is strong. Your power is made perfect in my weakness. So
I feel right before we get started to mention this, actually get into the armor that we're putting on, is that you have to decide in your life. There has to be a defining moment where you either trust the word of God is absolute and you're going to believe what it says despite what you feel, or you don't.
True.
Because if there's any room for the enemy to get in, mm-hmm. and to punch a hole in, like, well, I accept some of the word and some of it I really don't know.
Right.
Then now he will use that to wreak havoc and to cause you to question the very things. You need something that's solid, that's absolute, that you can go to, so you know if your thinking's wrong,
right?
If your strategy's wrong, if there's something wrong in the way that what you're thinking about yourself and your ability. And I was thinking of that because a lot of times we hear, like, the heart is the great deceiver. Are we here to trust our heart, right?
Right.
Like, just trust your heart. But I was thinking of that when you're talking, is that
follow your heart.
The heart is the great deceiver, the Bible says. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says, above all else, guard your heart. So it really comes down to, before we begin, who's the king of your heart? Is it yourself and your desires, or have you surrendered it to the Lord? Because that's the foundation. Have you decided to stand upon his word?
People pleasing?
Yeah. So if you've stood upon his word, now we can begin, because now God shows us how to armor up, how to equip ourselves to combat the lies of the enemy. But we have to know who's on the throne, and we've got to make sure God and his word are on the throne. And so we begin today armoring up. The first thing we put on is the belt of truth. And what's so important about the belt of truth is what I'm talking about. The belt of truth is putting on, wrapping up our whole life, our whole being, and our whole trust and our faith in God's word, knowing that that word is absolute. And the cool thing about a belt is it's not something you take off. You wrap it up and it's stationary. It's solid. It's dependable. No matter where you go, it's with you. Everywhere you go, you have that word that you know, despite what comes your ways, you always are wrapped up in truth, in God's promises of his word. And that's the power of putting on your belt of truth. Every day when you wake up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, you need to make sure that you are secure in your understanding that God's word is absolute. What it says is real. What it says about you is real, right, about your circumstance, and that you can trust it.
So what would you say to someone who, like, practically doesn't know how to do that? Like, they want to do this. They hear this and they're like, okay, I want to wake up and I want to put on this belt of truth. But when I open the word of God, I'm just reading a ton of stories that I don't understand.
What I'd say is you got to get practical. You got to start somewhere. What I love about the stories in the Bible, like Esther, that's a great story to read. Or you read through 1 and 2 Samuel and the story of, like, King Saul and the Israelites, and then David, who is a mighty man. Or you read the story of Joseph. Like, I love the Old Testament in the beginning, especially because, you know, I believe that their lives, although their circumstances look different, they parallel the same things we go through, the same emotions, the same oppositions. It's just manifest in our life in different ways, but the lessons are the same application. And God put those stories in there because they're our lives. He shows us how to handle things when they come our way, where our source is, where our power is found through trust in him, how to depend upon him and walk by faith despite the circumstance, and how he'll come through. And he's a promise keeper, and he'll provide a way around it, because now it's not about us and our ability. It's about him at work in us. And we're working in accordance with his plan for our life. So where do you start? That's what I say, is begin to see yourself in those stories. And if you just begin to read, like, Ruth or Esther, one of those books, you're going to begin to see God come alive and him begin to speak to you through that. And ask him, speak to me. And I know he will.
And I would ask you guys too, maybe you're reading a version of the Bible you don't understand, and maybe switch it up. I know there's sometimes in my life where I'll be reading the ESV and I'm like, okay, I'm understanding, but really not as much as I want to be. So I'll change it to NLT. I'll change it to NIV. Sometimes I'll even go back and forth between message and then ESV so that I kind of get a better understanding. And that's a practical way in my life. If you're struggling with understanding what the Bible is saying, that it kind of breaks it down in different ways so that it can speak to you without losing its meaning. And I love the verse, as Dad was reading, I was thinking about this. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free."
Good.
I love that because, I mean, so many times we always hear that saying, like you said, follow your heart. And when we're living in sin or doing things that we know aren't right with God, the world tells us that that's living in freedom because nobody's binding you. Nobody's telling you what to do. I'm going to do me. I'm going to follow my heart because then I'll get the desires of my heart because I know what they are. And we have to fight for ourselves. You know, only you know what's best for you. All of these sayings that the world throws at us, and they almost seem justifiable and true, but they're not. And every single time we are walking in those lies, we are adding another chain onto us that is literally making us prisoners in this world. But when we know the truth of God, when we're waking up and intentionally reading our words, spending time with him in the car, praying to him, and then listening for an answer, saying, "God, move, speak to me," listening to worship music, singing your own song, that truth that God instills in you in that moment is what will begin to uncover the lies of the enemy and truly set you free. And once you experience it, you're like confused, right? Because sometimes these thoughts won't even come from you. A lot of times they don't come from you. And it truly is the most freeing thing in the world, knowing that you don't have to look left and right to what these people consider truth, but knowing that in the middle of the storm, you can look at what God says and it's an absolute, like God said.
Yeah. So many times I feel so limited, and it's like, it's a stress relief to me to know that I don't have to know all the answers.
Same.
Because I serve an almighty, all-knowing God. And so I can go to his word when I don't know the answer. And he's going to tell me. And I know that it's true. And I can trust it and I can apply it. That's it. It's that simple.
So true. Being paralyzed by perfection is something I deal with really bad. Like, God will call me to do something and I'll be so scared to step out in it because I'm scared I won't do it exactly perfect, and so I'll miss out on what he had for me. But when you're truly just following what God's purpose is for your life and his plan, he will guide you every single step of the way. You don't have to know what's next. You don't have to care what other people think because he will reveal to you what is true. The next thing that it calls us to apply is the breastplate of righteousness. And it's important to understand that God doesn't call us to be righteous and to be made right before him because we're perfect or we ever will be. We are incapable of being perfect, which is why he sent Jesus to die for us. So we could have that mediator when we go to heaven that could cleanse us of our sins. So God does not call us to be perfect or to be righteous before him to earn his love, but to prevent us from unnecessary hardships in our lives that are sins or maybe an open door that we open unintentionally for the enemy to come in to deceive us and rob us from what God has. It prevents us from that. And I love like visual representations because I'm really in my mind a lot. And I was reading this Bible study, and we're actually going to be doing it this week on the Chosen and Free Co. Instagram page. So if you guys want to get connected and further go into this topic of putting on the armor of God and armoring up, I would encourage you guys go follow Chosen and Free Co. on Instagram right now and join our Bible study. We're going to be gathering together with a lot of sisters in Christ, and we would love to have you there. But what I love about this study is it talks about in one of the days how when we step into sin unintentionally or we say no to what God's calling us to give up, we're symbolically removing our breastplate of righteousness, removing that breastplate to protect us in the middle of battle. We are in the middle of a war right now in this world for our calling, for between principalities and powers, like good and evil, God and the enemy. And when we are stepping into sin, we are symbolically removing that breastplate and leaving ourselves now vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy, to lies from even our own hearts, to lies from what other people say about us. And it confuses us, which is why a lot of times we're confused in this world. I love the verse that talks about, "Stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil, prowls like he is a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is suffering the same kind of sufferings that you are. Stay alert. Know that the enemy is searching all across the earth for someone to devour, and know where your truth and your faith is found, because when you do, you will be able to stand firm in the middle of battles, because the enemy has no power over you unless you give it to him, unless you take off that breastplate of righteousness and allow him that open door into your life.
There's things we can do that invite disaster.
True that.
And that's why when you and I were talking about the breastplate of righteousness, I love what you said, because like how we see that is kind of like different. You know, most people think like it's the righteousness through Jesus. Like, yeah, we're made right through him. But there's things that we can do to protect ourselves from attack, you know, things that God didn't intend. Like I always talk about one time when I was reading through Jeremiah years ago. And I encourage you, if you've not read that book in a while, to read it, or if you've never read it, because you see a common theme from Jeremiah that he continually throughout that book, he's warning the people to repent of their sins. And he's saying, God doesn't intend harm on you, but you're bringing it on yourself through your lack of righteous living.
It's my worst nightmare.
Because of your disobedience. I hate suffering.
Me too.
And if I'm going to suffer, please let it not be something that could be avoided that I brought on myself. And as I began to read this when I was younger, over and over, I was like, wait a minute. I had this like epiphany. Like, wow, you mean I could actually avoid some of this stuff probably that I'm going through? Like you're dating in relationships that are unequally yoked. The Bible says, don't be unequally yoked, you know, in the who you choose to date or marry. And you just got to have it your way. And so you go through with it. And then it manifests, you know, what you put in the ground, what you sow will reap a harvest.
True.
Every day we're planting seeds, and our harvest and the fruit that it bears is directly determined by what we're putting in. And God doesn't give us his word just to be a list of rules. This is protection.
Yep.
It's provision. It's everything that we need to live a righteous life, a victorious life that he's called us to, and to overcome every hurdle the enemy brings at us. So I love the breastplate of righteousness. So we have number one, the belt of truth.
Yep.
We get up every morning. We wrap ourselves up in God's word. We put on the breastplate of righteousness, righteous living, living set apart.
Harper.
MLB playoffs are near, and you know what that means, Alex?
Yep, Flippin' Bats will be staying up late and having all the fun.
From breaking down the most important stories and games, nobody's done what he's doing. Nobody, not even Babe Ruth.
To interviewing baseball's biggest stars.
I felt like I was pitching more stressed. I was trying to be so perfect.
No one covers America's pastime like us.
So as we sprint towards this year's World Series on Fox, please make sure to listen, follow, and subscribe to Flippin' Bats with Ben Verlander and me, Alex Curry.
Baseball is fun, and so are we. We're going to have fun, dang it. We'll talk to you soon.
I think it's important, too, before you go into the next thing, that we know that we cannot hide from God.
No.
We cannot fool him. We might be able to sweet talk people with our words. Oh, I'll pray for you and seem like this like perfect little Christ follower. But we cannot fool God. When we're going into places that grieves God's spirit, when we have the Holy Spirit within us, we feel nasty when we go in those places because the spirit is grieving within us. We take him with us. He sees us everywhere we go, every single thing we do. It even says in his word, he knows our thoughts before they're even our thoughts.
Yeah.
Like that is how intimately he knows us, because he created us. And the enemy would love nothing more for us to continue to think, oh, God will just forgive me. I can continue to live in the sin because that's what Jesus died for. Like, God's going to forgive me. God will forgive you, but it doesn't mean the consequences aren't going to come. And he would so much rather be blessing you than forgiving you over and over and over again. And the enemy would love nothing more than for you to just keep living in this mindset, in the same exact sin over and over again. Oh, God will forgive me. God will forgive me. God will forgive me. And just honestly make it seem like it's not a big deal, because he knows that you will not walk out in the plans God has for you if we continue to just buy into these lies. It's not a big deal.
The importance of having the word is, if it's absolute, then we know what it says about that. It says, literally as a scripture, it says, don't be misled. Mm-hmm. Don't be misled. You can't ignore God and get away with it.
It's true.
That's what it says. Don't be misled. You can't ignore God and get away with it. You will always reap what you sow. Those who live to satisfy their own sinful desires will harvest the consequences, what you're talking about, of decay and death. Mm. In other words, it's that scripture just backs up everything you said. It's like, you know, what you put in the ground, you reap what you sow, and there's nothing that gets overlooked. It can look like in the moment, like nothing's happened. Like you're living in that relationship, or you're living in immorality, or whatever that circumstance is for you. You're cheating on tests in schools, and it's like, well, you know, it's just a test. Guess what? It's never just a.
Right.
It starts just that. People usually don't hop into big drugs overnight. It usually starts with just a.
Right. Just an open door.
What? Just a little bit of an open door. And the enemy is patient. Like, he's so patient, he'll take his time. He'll just make it desensitized and warm that kettle up. You know that whole, remember that old story? I don't know if he's put a frog in like hot water, it'll jump out. But if you put him in a pot and you warm it up slowly, it's that whole thing. And that's how he works. Like, he knows he's got time. And he's comfortable just taking a little bit at a time to desensitize you to who God is. So that's so true, and that's so important before we move on from that. So we have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and then number three, we have the shoes of peace. And the shoes of peace are so powerful because shoes provide a strong foundation and protection. It's like our firm footing when attacks come. You got to know that, going back to what we talked about, God's word says that he has the plans I know the plans I have for you, God says. In other words, we have a peace knowing that God, who delighted in us, who knew us before we're in the womb and put us here on the earth at the exact moment for a purpose, we can trust this same God who's all loving, is ordering our steps, and despite what we're facing, he is going to be faithful to his word, to one, to complete the work he began, and number two, to work it all together for our good. One of my favorite verses, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, seek his will, or acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So it's having that confidence, that peace, knowing that God Almighty, your creator, your heavenly Father, is working all things together for your good, that you fight from victory, that despite what your circumstance may look like in the temporary, that there's nothing too difficult for God, nothing that he can't overcome, nothing that he can't bring you out of, and that there's always hope. You're never without hope because you serve an almighty God, and he already knew things from beginning to end before you ever walked into them. So what you have to do is resolve that through the process, you're going to trust and you're going to have an unrelenting faith to believe that he is going to do that which he said, which is work it together for your good. And so he fills you with this peace because your confidence is no longer in what things look like on the outside, the external, but it's what he's done in you in the internal, and knowing that your faith is in him and not yourself.
Dang. Mic drop right there, Dad. Come on, that was certified fresh, Lance Shinaki.
Certified fresh, right out of the organic garden of God's word. Oh, no, you did not. Okay, you did not. You guys, Allie's got this little sound thing. She jokingly showed me before, and I was like, hey, let's try.
No, it's cool.
For the intro, but yeah, it's fun. But anyways, so we have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. We have the shoes of peace. And then Allie's going to take us to one of my favorite.
The shield of faith. So we're going to talk about two verses really quick. They kind of go hand in hand. Both are in Hebrews chapter 11. The first one is verse 1. And it says this: faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things that we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in the old days earned a good reputation. And then fast forward to verse 6, it says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him or sincerely seek him. That's nuts. That is nuts. So what is faith? It is evidence of things that we cannot see and the reality of things that we hope for, which is literally God, right? We cannot see God. Our human minds cannot see God, but it's evidence. And what's cool about faith is like when you begin to step out of your comfort zone into things that God's called you to do, maybe it's just to go pray for someone, accept a job somewhere, start a podcast, whatever it looks like in your life, that muscle of faith grows because when we step out, we see that the evidence of things that we cannot see because God shows up, if that makes sense. Like, for example, When I had this chosen and free freedom night, it was like opposition on all sides were against us, whether it was no caterers, no decorations, like the room having to be switched, somebody coming against us and trying to steal all the tickets. Like it was one thing after the next, but I knew God had called me to do it just in just this little thing in like the middle of my heart. It just felt like, oh, I'm supposed to do this. Even though it looked justifiable, like maybe I'm not, everything's falling apart. I just had this weird thing that I couldn't shake off. Like, don't give up, keep doing it. And so even though it looked like all things were stacked against me, I continued to press forward even when it looked like there was nothing that was going to come through or be there. I decided I was going to trust God for who he was. And that night, he blew my mind with his faithfulness. And that right there is evidence of things that I could not see, and evidence of a God that is out there that orchestrated every single detail, even when it looked like everything was falling apart, because nothing that happened that night, no volunteers, no caterers, no message. I didn't even get a message until the second I basically walked on that stage. Like every single thing that happened that night was evidence in my life of a God that's orchestrating all things together for my good. And you can grow that muscle of faith in your own life too by stepping out when he calls you to do something and saying yes. Whenever he says, step out of your comfort zone, I want you to go do this even though it doesn't make sense. I want you to go do this even though it looks like your world is falling apart. You might not be qualified. It might even feel like God's left you. Exercise that muscle of faith, because it will begin to build inside of you evidence of the things that you hope for and that you cannot see, you know?
It was so fun for me to watch as a dad and just you struggle, go through the struggle.
Oh, thanks, Dad.
Because I've been through it. Like I love talking about this because I've been in places. I remember when I was younger, you know, I didn't grow up with like a real like mentor, you know, and I used to ask God for that. Like, God, it would be nice to have somebody in my life that I could call on, that I could. And it's like for my story, and I want to encourage somebody out maybe that's listening to this right now. It's like, maybe you don't have somebody in your life. You know, I really never did. You know, what I did have is a heart after God, and I had God himself, who's the greatest mentor.
I don't think David had a mentor.
Not that it's bad to have a mentor. I love it. Like, right. I think that's what we're called to do. But I look at it like the Israelites, like in the beginning, this just came to my mind. Before they had a king, they wanted to have a king like everybody else. And true. God's like, why would you want? Like, you got me.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, you know what, God, you're enough. So like, good. If you give me a mentor, I would love it. But ever since I was young, it's just kind of been me and him. And I've had people impart things in my life. But he told me crazy, crazy dreams as a young kid that I, you know, like you said, you just knew it was God. But one of them that happened recently, you know, was the Grand Ole Opry. That was one like God had showed me years ago when I was probably in high school, that one day I saw myself playing the Opry. And it was just not like, you know, we have ideas, but then there's things, you know, it's God. But I pursued country music. God tells me to lay it down in my mid-20s. And I'm like, that makes no sense. I go overseas and I just surrender. And I'm like, God, I laid down. I died to country music. I have nothing to do with it at all for like 8 years. And then it's a crazy path, right? That I'm just trusting God. And to see how he brought that back through. If you don't know the story, the Cliff Notes is like Noah, you know, signed as a country artist at 21 and just recently was asked to make his Grand Ole Opry debut. And so I played on the stage with him at the Grand Ole Opry. But not only that, he worked behind the scenes with them so that I could step into the circle and sing, you know, the second chorus and verse of the dance. But in that moment, I said, you know, I didn't even really recognize or pay attention to the audience. I don't even remember really seeing them, to tell you the truth. I was so taken back by God's faithfulness to do what he says. And I got to tell you, that's just one story of so many that God's done. So as I watched you struggling through the last minute, like mishaps and like people canceling and things look like they're falling apart, as a dad, I was there. I've been there and I'll be there again. The difference is I'm not the same as I was when I'm 20. And I know God's real. And I told God, if you do these things, that these crazy dreams, if you put in my heart, if when you do them, not if, when you do them, I'm going to make it known. I'm going to scream it out. He put such impossible dreams within me as a young kid that had no evidence of happening as I just walked by faith. But I had to draw a line in the sand. And I said, no matter what, I'm going to stand before you and say that I trusted you, whether they happen or not in my lifetime. But the thing is, they did. And I'm here on this podcast telling everybody the dreams God puts in your heart will come to fruition. I don't care if it takes a day, a month, a year, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. I think it was 30 years for that Opry one to come true. But as I watched Allie on her Chosen a Free Night, these dreams that God's put in your heart, I'm just like, and I think I told her when we talked right before, I'm like, Allie, there's a process. It's not easy.
But and it made me look at him in the middle when I had no word and I was about to go on stage. And I was like, this doesn't make me feel better. It does not make me feel better.
But God's teaching us the most important thing, and it's this, dependence.
True that.
Because his power is made perfect in our
weakness.
And when you're weak, he is
strong.
See, that's why we got to have the word. You know, we see things as they really are.
True that.
We got to have that belt of truth. That roots us in. So,
and he rewards those who sincerely seek him diligently.
So then we move on from the shield of faith to the helmet of salvation, kind of putting this through. So we have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, and now the helmet of salvation, which is the most vital, for it protects our head. And how many of you know, like, the battlefield is in our mind?
Oh, it's so true.
Every day, the enemy knows that our mind is the most fertile soil that's ever been created in all existence. It's like if you were to drive through some farmland and there was a field just flourishing with crops because it's so fertile, that can't even come close to comparing how fertile our mind is. And the enemy knows this. So every day he's trying to plant seeds of lies, seeds of deception in your mind about who you are, about what you're able to do, about what God's called you to, about what you've heard from God. Because if he can get you to disbelieve it, he know that that seed in your mind is going to take root, and it's going to grow deep roots that are going to lock you in and give him a stronghold and a way to reign influence in your life. So we've got to learn to protect our mind, to know that we are eternally secure, our salvation is secure, in the blood of Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. He paid for that penalty. So we know that when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we've been adopted into the family. I'm now his son. You are now his sons and daughters. And that all these promises, these truths that we're talking about in his word are real. And so we apply his word that says this. It says, we destroy, in the 2 Corinthians 10:5, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. And we capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. In other words, we hold all of our thoughts and our imaginations captive to the word of God. In other words, nothing is going to go into our mind, be planted into that fertile soil that contradicts God's word and what it says, period. And that is how we wrap ourselves up in the helmet of salvation.
So true. Whether it's about your calling, whether it's about your identity, I struggled for a season, I'm not even going to lie, with being really down, feeling really depressed, feeling really anxious. And even though I might have been going through feelings of anxiety, I do not have anxiety because I am. That is not who I am. That is not who God made me.
Or fear.
God did not make you anxious. God says, do not be anxious for anything. Pray about everything.
Love this.
So do not accept labels over your life that God did not place on you. You are not depressed. You might be going through a season where you feel upset or where your thoughts are going wild and you feel alone. But I want you to know that you are not that. God's called you above that. God has called you greater to that. And I begin to ask you to like take captive those thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. Who does God say that you are? He says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. There's no flaw in you. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Every hair of your head is intentionally placed on you. He knows them all. He has plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. You know, all of these are promises that we're not speaking over you, but that God has spoken over you when he created you. And so I begin to ask you to, you know, no longer buy into those things or take them on as your own identity, because that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do so that he can keep you bound. But it says in his word, know the truth and the truth will set you free. Begin to know the truth of God.
I love the word. I mean, you know? You can feel it when you say it. It just permeates the lies. It disintegrates and dissolves them. I remember when one of our first trips out to Hollywood, identity is huge. And I remember we're going out there and I'm like told Noah, like he's a little kid. I'm like, Noah, you are not an actor. Noah, you are not a singer. He's like, okay, Dad. He's like this little kid. What does that mean? But I pounded in his head, in your head, in Ella's head, in Noel's head. Here's what you are. You're a child of God, and you're on a mission. He's like, oh, that sounds so spiritual. No, this is real. Because if you identify as an actor and then that's removed, then guess what? You don't know who you are, what's your identity. But if you see your life like it is, like God's told us, for I know the plans I have for you, and it's an assignment. You are on mission here. Right. It might involve singing, it might involve acting, it might involve speaking, it might involve preaching, it might involve building a business, whatever it is.
True.
That can change, but the mission stays the same. And so I love that. Identity is humongous.
And that goes perfectly into the next part of the armor. And this is probably one of my favorites, and it's the sword of the spirit. And we've kind of been talking about this in Hebrews 4 verse 12 says this, and it kind of lines up right with what Dad's saying. It says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. Alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. What's amazing about the sword of the spirit is it's both offensive and defensive. It's the only part of the armor of God that is both offensive, speaking truth to what we're believing inside of us, the lies that maybe we've bought into, and we read the word of God and the truth of God and like truly allow it to come into our lives. It begins to expose our innermost thoughts, our innermost desires, and show us what is Christ, what is the enemy. But not only does it reveal the truth inside of us, but we can use it as a defense against the enemy whenever he comes at us saying, you're not good enough, or speaks through people. We know how to fight. I think about Jesus when he was being tempted by the enemy, and how the enemy would come up and he'd like try to get him to question everything that God said.
And use scripture,
but twist it out of context. And how Jesus knew scripture and its context so good that whenever the enemy would come and try to deceive him, he would spit back scripture at him that contradicted what he said. And it's important that we know how to use the word of God, not only internally, but as a defense of the enemy. Something God has been showing me is like verbally speaking out to the enemy, like exposing his lies, like outside of my mouth. Like it says in the Bible that the power of life and death is in our tongue. So I figured, you know what? I'm so over this. Like I'm being tormented. Honestly, I was being tormented in my mind by these thoughts that weren't even my own thoughts, right? I was sitting on this bed saying, God has plans for me. When I'm weak, he is made strong. Like all of these scriptures. And then the next second I'd be like, yeah, he's not going to show up. He's not going to come. And I was like, that's not true. Like, no. I don't believe that. And so I begin to say it outside with my words, like, Satan, you have no hold over my life. Like, I'm getting on that stage. I am going to say whatever God wants me to, even if I have nothing to say. Like, you have lost. I see what you're doing. You're trying to get me to doubt who God is. I'm not doubting who God is. He's good. He's faithful. I'm removing the lies and filling myself with truth verbally as well as in my mind, offensively as well as defensively. And I'd encourage you guys to take whatever situation you're going through in your life right now and do that, because you will be amazed by the power that comes in that and how you can just feel the chains breaking off of you. And this scripture, it tells us and calls us to bring things to light, because it's in the like light that like sin is revealed, like darkness cannot be. And that is exactly what it's doing. It's no longer keeping things internal, but exposing what they really are.
I know that in order to apply this, like there's a role for us to play in this. You know, it's like God gives us the truth, but then we have a responsibility to steward. For instance, if you wanted to be an Olympic athlete, like let's say you wanted to be a track star, you just wanting to do that and even knowing how to do it, you know what I mean? Like the things you need to do to train is not good enough. You actually have to physically get up and go train. You have to know what to do, and you have to get up every day and have the discipline to work hard to be able to activate those things. You know, action is what makes it happen. You know, just knowing it is not enough. And, you know, God gives, he uses the sword as a weapon to show us, like, if we have a sword in our hand, but we've never been trained in it, and we don't know, we know that it can be used on defense and offense, right?
Right.
To both defend and to hurt, right? But we've never been trained in to use it, we're not going to be nearly as effective as we could be. because we didn't do our part. It's like God gives us this thing. He's like, now go train. What does that mean for what we're talking about here? The sword of the Spirit is the word of God.
Right.
So there's a practical application that we are called and held to account our part to do in this story.
Right.
And that is we need to study to show ourselves approved, like the scripture says, unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, breaking that down, we need to know what the word says. We need to know what the promises says, how God sees us, what he says about our circumstance. What we've been doing throughout this podcast is renewing our minds, and you can feel it. You can feel it as you begin to say the truth of God's word. There's just something supernatural that comes in and it just pierces any bit of deception in you.
True.
And it just implants truth because it's sharper than a two-edged sword.
And I know you feel it too.
It's in reality. So as we've been on this podcast, and I know you've experienced it too, to those who are listening, you're experiencing the sword of the Spirit and the power that it has. And so I want to encourage you, don't just take it when people say it. Study to show yourself approved. Like if you want victory over depression, if you want to know what God says, we need to keep our axe sharp. We need to be in the Word. We need to memorize Scripture. How am I going to recall Scripture in my time of need if I've never studied it, right? It's so important that we know what God's Word says. And what I love when you're reading this stuff, it's like coming alive when you realize God's Word's absolute and you actually read it and you see what it says. It's just like a light bulb goes off and you're like, wow.
It's true.
Like, you know, it's all about drawing a line in the sand and saying, no longer am I going to listen to the lie of the enemy that causes me to doubt God's word and what he says. I'm going to stand upon it. And when the enemy comes, I'm going to not cower away. I'm going to dig my heels in and my feet in and grow my roots deeper. And I'm going to push harder because I know what he says is real. And I know he is who he says he is. And I will do what he said that he's called me to do.
So powerful. Well, guys, that is how we armor up. I would encourage you guys, do not let the enemy even steal what the Lord has revealed to you today. That is why we are starting a Bible study on the Bible app with the Chosen and Free Co community this week. We are going to be diving deep into every single part of the armor and how we can apply it even further the rest of this week. So I cannot wait to meet you guys, see what God has in store. Thank you so much, Dad, for coming on here, for just sharing your stories, how God has moved in your life and encouraged our faith, because it says in the word, faith is built on faith. I'm encouraged by your story, by the stories you guys send me of how you guys are stepping out in faith on the Chosen and Free Instagram. Like, together as a community, we are going to change this world for Christ, uncover identity and unlock purpose.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thank y'all so much for hanging with us today. It was so much fun having you be a part of our conversation. I hope the podcast today brought you joy, life, and that you got to hear your Heavenly Father speak directly into your life. Before this podcast ends, do not forget to click the download button and to subscribe so you do not miss out on any further episodes or any fun things going on. And also drop a review. I would love to hear what you guys want to hear in the future and see what God is doing in your life right now. I love y'all. You're chosen by God. There are amazing plans for your life. Until next time.